signs that I win. And Jesus, I heard if I give you my heart, you'd let me go there. Jesus, I heard about me a time when all your children come to eat. I heard you've got a great big table where every kid can have his own seat. Jesus, they said there'll be
was a wretch. I remember who I was. I was lost, I was blind, I was running out of time. Sin separated, the breach was far too wide. But from the far side of the chasm, you held me in your sight. So you made a way across the great divide. Left behind heaven's throne to build it here inside. There at the cross, you paid the debt I owe. Broke my chains and freed my soul for the first time. Took my place, laid inside my tomb of sin. You were buried for 3 days, but then you walked right out again. And now death has no sting, and life has no end. We'll be right back.
We had some what I called fillers. We filled in for several weeks trying to figure out kind of what I felt like God wanted us to do and where he wanted us to go next. And for, I'm going to say several months now, I've had the book of Proverbs on the heart. But it's been one of those weird things, and because I've never really preached a whole lot out of the book of Proverbs before. And you're saying, goodness, you mean you've been preaching for 30-something years and you've never really... I mean, I've probably preached, I can count on two hands probably the sermons I've preached out of Proverbs before. So there's a lot of good stuff in there. But, you know, if you're like me, I've always just kind of looked at the book of Proverbs as just a... it's obviously God's Word, but a lot of two-line thoughts that can encourage our life. If you're a righteous person, you're going to do this. If you're a foolish person, you're going to do this. So I've never really spent a lot of time in the book of Proverbs, which that's my own fault. But for several months now, God's been dealing with me about Proverbs. And so I said, well, you know something, we're just going to have to jump in there, because until we do, God's not going to be, not going to leave me alone on getting into Proverbs. So I don't know if it's just for me, maybe a little bit for you too. So we're going to spend the next few weeks. Now, I know the first, I know what you're thinking already. You're already looking to see how many chapters are in the book of Proverbs. You mean we're going to be in there 30-some weeks in the book of Proverbs? I have no idea at this point. All I know is that we're starting. I have no idea when we're going to quit, where we're going to go to, or what's going to happen in the meantime. So we're going to be in the book of Proverbs. We're looking at the first seven verses. Stand with me, if you will. And today will be basically an introduction to the book of Proverbs. Verse number one, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. And then the key is in verse number 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Our Father, as we come to you today, we're already praising you for how good it's been to be in your house. It feels so good to be here. It's just a great, great feeling to know that we're worshiping and praising you, that those of us that are saved, you saved us with your precious blood, that you gave yourself for us, God, and you've developed this beautiful relationship with us. And now, as we study your word, we can learn and we can grow and we can develop that relationship, God, to be what you want it to be. You can chip away those things in our life that don't need to be there, God. You can add to our lives the things that do need to be there. And you have this goal, you have this vision for us, that you want us to be this Christian. You want us to be Christ-like, to live for you, to serve you, to be blessed by you. There's so many things, God, that you have set in place for each individual life. It all comes back to, well, the book of Proverbs. It comes back to wisdom. It comes back to us following and obeying the plan that you have for us and the will that you have and have instilled within us, God. It's obeying you. So first, I'll forgive me of my sins, the many times that I fail you and disappoint you. And I pray, God, that through the next few moments as we examine what Proverbs is, we examine what wisdom is, that, God, you'll just speak to our heart and give us what we need today. We love you. We praise you. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hakma. You probably thought I was about to say a dirty word. Hakma, that is what wisdom is. In Hebrew, that's the word, and that's literally the focus of the entire book. The entire book of Proverbs is centered around the concept of Hakma, of wisdom and understanding wisdom. We think we know what wisdom is. I've jotted down a few things here that I wanted to just throw at you. I wanted to write them down just so I didn't mess up when I describe. But worldly wisdom is the difference between worldly wisdom and godly wisdom. Obviously, we know that. But worldly wisdom is this. It is knowledge apart from divine revelation. Okay? Worldly wisdom is knowledge apart from divine revelation. So I'm not going to say someone can be unsaved and not understand wisdom. They can understand worldly wisdom. No way for us to understand godly wisdom until we have a relationship with God. Also, godly wisdom is not just knowledge, but it's the right use of knowledge. Maurice Meredith defines in a book, in a study of Proverbs, defines wisdom as this, and I think this is so beautiful. Wisdom enables one to turn every good thing in life to its rightful purpose. It is something more than wit, shrewd common sense, or even worldly prudence. It is something more than intellectual excellence, in that it implies a spiritual and a moral quality of the heart, of the will, and of the life, and of your life. And it is a practical application of knowledge to its best ends. Godly wisdom is this. Godly wisdom is not something you choose to do, okay? Like, I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that. Godly wisdom is not just something you do, but it is a way of being. That's what wisdom is. That's what godly wisdom is. It is a way of being. And the definition of Hakma is wit. It is to be wise. It is to be skillful. But I think that sometimes when we read even the definition of words, they don't really do justice to the fact of what it actually means. Wisdom is a beautiful way of life that we can live in if we desire to. When we build our relationship with Christ, we can live within that realm of godly wisdom if we want to. And I'm going to tell you something, it's a beautiful place. Living in wisdom and letting wisdom drive us and guide us and living wise can be a beautiful thing. And I think the collection, as we look through the whole book of Proverbs and all these literal proverbs that are here, it's a great way of life. But keep this in mind. Somebody can, I don't want to mess this up. Somebody can do wise things, and it doesn't mean they're wise. Because you can pull off a wise feat every once in a while. But somebody that is wise will always do wise things. When we see acts of wisdom in somebody's life, that's God intends for those things to be the result of the fact that we're living that life of wisdom. We're under that God's umbrella of doing the wise thing, of doing the skillful thing, of doing the godly thing. So again, wisdom is not just something you do, but it's a way of being. I love that definition. So you know what it really talks about then? It talks about a relationship. That's what it talks about. Wisdom lets us understand that it is a relationship that I have with God that develops as I grow physically and I grow mentally and intellectually. I'm able to grow spiritually under that relationship with God in wisdom. So to say that wisdom then is a way of being, it almost lends itself to perhaps like an artisan, somebody who is creative in a field and is putting that to good use. Wisdom is not just knowing what to do, but actually doing those things that are wise. And I pulled out a verse of scripture from Exodus chapter number 31, beginning in verse number 1, that kind of describes this putting wisdom into action. It said, "The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, See, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Ur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship." This guy's he's a craftsman, and he's about to perform his art in the craft that he's been gifted with. So God has blessed him with the natural ability to be creative, but also God has given him wisdom to be able to apply that and put that to practical use in his life. I mean, if we think about it, when you read these proverbs, you say, man, that's very practical, isn't it? They're very practical. They are. They're intended to be, because God wants us to understand there's a right way to do things and there's a wrong way to do things. And I'm going to show you the benefit through the book of Proverbs, he's saying, of the benefit of doing things the right way, doing things that practical, godly way, the right way we need to do them. But in that, God wants us to also understand that wisdom is something beautiful that God bestows upon us, that God grants us. So the first thought then about wisdom is this: God calls us to wisdom. The reason I say that is I don't believe that just because you get saved, you're going to be wise. Do you? No, because I've done a lot of dumb things after I've been saved. I know, I'm living from experience. Just because you're saved doesn't make you wise, but it gives you the opportunity to become wise. Proverbs 1 and 20 says, "Wisdom crieth without, she uttereth her voice in the streets." Proverbs 8:1, "Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice?" God is crying out to us to receive his wisdom, to understand his wisdom. And I love how the book of Proverbs illustrates wisdom as a lady. We call her Lady Wisdom. So for the next several weeks, we're going to talk about Lady Wisdom, okay? That's who this is, Lady Wisdom. She was there with God, and she was in the beginning, and she's standing on the streets. It says she's basically walking the street corners, and she's screaming, and she's declaring, "Come unto me, and I will feed you. I will give you what you need. I will bless you. I'll show you the true path." So God is crying out to us to come unto wisdom. And I'm thinking, why is it that God would cry out to us to come unto wisdom? Because God knows the importance of wisdom, and he knows what's going to happen when we begin to choose right over wrong. Intelligence can be a scary thing for us, because we can think we really know what's right when we don't have a clue what's right when it comes to godly things. And sometimes that's why somebody like me, simple like me, it's easier for me to grasp the simplicity of salvation and God's plan a lot of times than it is someone who is highly intellectual. It's difficult for them to consider and understand the simplicity of salvation. Intelligence can be a very difficult thing in us receiving wisdom because we think we already have wisdom. We think we already know what to do. I already know what to do. Nobody has to tell me. Nobody is wise outside of those that are in a right relationship with Jesus Christ. You are not wise. You have no concept of wisdom outside of being in a right relationship with Christ. That's why he is crying out for us to come unto him, because he knows what is right. Because God is right. And God knows the importance of when we act upon what he's telling us to do, what lies ahead. Jesus, when he was sitting, and Mary came to his feet, and she was there, and her sister Martha, you know, we talked about this over the last few weeks, that she was fussing because Mary's here at his feet, and I'm in here cleaning up, and Jesus said, don't fuss at her because she's doing the right thing. You know what she's doing? She's sitting there gaining wisdom. She's sitting there getting fed from Jesus himself. Jesus is saying she's doing that right thing. That needful thing is what she's doing. Jesus knows, and that's why he cries out to us, be wise, follow wisdom, listen to me, let the Spirit speak to your heart and do what I'm telling you to do, because therein is wisdom, and it will bless your life. It'll prevent you from a lot of hardships in life. Oh, my goodness, if I'd been wiser through my life, look at the hardships that I never would have had to face. Can you go back and you think about some of the things you've faced in your life? And you say, oh my goodness, if I just listened to God, if I'd just been wiser, because God is crying out to us, I have wisdom and I want to pour it out to you, according to James, liberally. If you will just listen to me, I will show you what is wise. Don't think you know the truth, because God's ways are not our ways. His ways are far above our ways. But why does God call us to wisdom? Because he knows without it, we're always going to choose the wrong path. We never get to a point to where we actually stand on our own two feet. It's unlike our relationship with our children. A lot of similarities in our relationship to our children and our Father, Heavenly Father's relationship to us. But this is one difference, in that we encourage that independence for them to stand on their own two feet with the things they've learned and they've matured and they've grown. And we want them to stand on their own, and we want to be there to support them. But God wants us to always know, it doesn't matter how smart you think you are or how much you grow or intellectual that we become, we will always be completely and totally dependent on him to our last breath that we breathe. Doesn't matter how many years I preached. You know something? I got to have his wisdom tomorrow just like I got to have it today. Doesn't matter how many verses of the Bible that I perhaps have memorized, which is not very many because I am terrible at Bible verse memorization. It doesn't matter how many stories I know. It doesn't matter how many revivals I have under my belt. Listen, every day I got to have the wisdom that comes from God, and it's found in my developing of that relationship with him. He's crying out to me and to you today that if you want to be wise, if you want wisdom and chokmah, then you're going to have to seek him, and you're going to have to trust in him, because he knows what is right. So second, what's the value of wisdom? So if God's crying about getting wisdom, what does it really mean to me? Proverbs 16:16. How much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather than to be chosen than silver? We think gold and silver are pretty good to have around, right? God is telling us. Now, he's just not just throwing around a thought. No, I'm just really throwing a thought. I don't really mean it that way. No, God literally means that wisdom is greater than gold and silver. Literally, the most valuable commodity that you could come up with on the face of this earth. God is telling us that the value of wisdom is greater than anything this earth has to offer you or me. Wow, then wisdom must be something worth having, isn't it? Proverbs 2 and 9, Then shalt thou... understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. Proverbs 3:13, happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. What's the value of it? The value of it is that first, God calls us out to wisdom because God knows what's right. The value to us in gaining wisdom, is the fact that we build a confidence to know God's will. That's the beauty. That's the value. That's the hidden nugget of wisdom, is that when I'm living wise, I begin to really understand God's plan for my life. You have a lot of unanswered questions in your relationship to God? I do periodically still, you know. I think I kind of know my path. I kind of know I'm supposed to preach. I kind of know, you know, some things. But there's still areas of my life that I'll pray and I don't really have that concrete answer. But a lot of it has to do with those day-to-day things, those, you know, perhaps even trivial things to other people in life. But as far as knowing a path for your life, knowing a direction, understanding the intent that God has for your life, those things can be known as we grow in wisdom. That's what's valuable about it. That's what makes it more precious than gold or silver, is the fact that it builds a confidence within us. It's not a confidence in you or me, but a confidence in knowing God has spoken and this is what's going to happen. It's a confidence to know the will of God. Man, I love knowing the will of God for my life, don't you, at times? When he turns on the bright lights and I go, yes, hallelujah. I know what God's answer is to this situation. I know God's plan for this situation. When we have confidence that God is in something, that is way more valuable than any amount of gold anybody could pour on us. Coming over here from the old building, and I remember when we met and we started talking about it, we started talking about the building a new church, a new facility, and where we're going to build it. You know something, even from day one of us starting to discuss that event of the whole transition over here, when we first started praying about it, God gave us wisdom. God gave us insight and confidence to know there might have been maybe early on from a few people, but I'm going to tell you something. There was a unity of confidence that God was building a church here. That's exactly what he did. We wondered how it was going to happen. We wondered how's it going to be pulled off. Where's the money going to come from? Where we're going to build? There's a million questions, but with every question that came up, there was an instilled confidence that we knew it was God's will and God's plan and God had a purpose for it. Now you and I are able to see the result of following that path of wisdom. Well, we find ourselves there again, right? We found ourselves that way in Camp Cove. We've seen things that God has blessed us with and give us opportunity to experience. And that overwhelming, you know something, you can't even really explain that to anybody, can you, unless they've experienced it themselves. Can you explain the confidence you get from God in knowing what you're doing is his will? Can you really explain that to anybody? I don't know that you really can. It's one of those things you have to experience, but it's found within following God's plan. And the wisdom, the value of wisdom that he gives us, is that confidence of knowing God is in it. And this is God's plan. Next is a security of wisdom. What kind of security does wisdom bring us? Proverbs 2:11 says, "Discretion shall preserve thee, and understanding shall keep thee." Proverbs 3:24, "When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet." He's not just saying you're going to have a good night's sleep. He said it's going to be sweet. What do we say when we tell somebody, our little babies are going to bed? Sweet dreams. Literally, you're going to have sweet dreams. God is going to give us the ability to be comforted and have a peace and have a rest when we are living that life of wisdom, when we are listening to that Spirit of God as he speaks to us. So what does that do for us? And what is this security we're talking about? It gives us not only the confidence we found before, but it also brings a comfort to our lives as we endure through difficult times. Just because God tells you what he wants you to do doesn't mean it's going to happen tomorrow. That's the bummer, right? Just because God says this is the vision for your life, this is the plan for your life, and here's where you're going to end up, it doesn't mean it's going to happen in a week or a month or a year. If God has a plan, it may take a certain amount of time for that to be fulfilled. David was anointed king, but look at all the things he went through before he ever sat on the throne as the real king. Yeah, there are times of suffering, of hardship, of difficulty, even knowing the will of God. But if we're living within wisdom, if we're trusting in God, then what that wisdom is going to do, the security that it brings, is that comfort and that peace during times of trials that attack our lives. Every Christian is going to suffer. You're going to suffer. Well, then I don't want to get saved. I think I'd rather get saved than suffer as to not get saved. But know this, God is the God of all comfort. He's going to be the God of peace. He's going to be the one that brings that strength that we need when we have no strength. Paul prayed for the thorn in the flesh. Jesus said, my strength is going to be perfect in weakness, in your weakness. When you feel like you can't go on, I'm going to lift you up. I'm going to strengthen you. I'm going to hold you. I'm going to comfort you. I'm going to feed you spiritually. So people like Paul, when we look at their lives, they lived under that umbrella of wisdom. They knew, they had confidence that what they were doing was the plan that God had for them. And in those times of trial, how in the world can a man like Paul sing praises at midnight? Because he was comforted by the Spirit of God. Because he chose wisdom. Because he chose to honor God and follow God. That's the security that wisdom brings us. And what's the reward of wisdom? Proverbs 8:34, blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily in my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. Proverbs 24:13-14, my son, eat thou honey, because it is good, and the honeycomb, which is sweet to thy taste. So shall the knowledge of wisdom be upon your soul. When thou hast found it, then thou shalt there shall be a reward, and thy expectation shall not be cut off. God's going to bless you. Now, it may not be the type of blessing you're looking for. It may not be materialistic. It may be a spiritual blessing, but God's going to bless you. And, you know, honestly, as I get older, stuff matters less to me. Spiritual things matter a whole lot more. I'd rather know that I can lay down and rest and have peace in my heart than to know that I've got a brand new car out in the driveway. Having peace and having that comfort and knowing that I'm within the will of God, those become precious things in my life the older I get. So that's what God's talking about here. That's the reward of us choosing wisdom. God's saying, not only is it right, not only is it going to be a blessing to your life and keep you from a lot of trouble, but I'm going to bless you when you choose the path of wisdom. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless your life. I'm going to bless those people that are around you. I'm going to give you that reward. It's going to be as sweet as a honeycomb. So to choose wisdom comes with great reward. Moses, I know we've talked about this before, was able to stand and watch all the children of Israel go into the promised land. And we're all sitting and thinking, well, how sad it is. He led them for 40 years and he wasn't even able to go in with them. No, he got to see them all graduate. He got to watch them all go in. All of his kids made it. You know, some of them maybe had a C. You got to get the C, right? At least make a C. But they got to go in. They got to go into the promised land. And Moses was the proud papa watching thousands of people make it in. They made it. We made it. God made it. That was his reward. His reward was to see his kids graduate. And I'm thinking, those are the kind of rich things that the world can't offer you, that Satan can't take from you. Those rewards of faithfulness to God, those are beautiful things. So then we close with this question then, how in the world do we attain wisdom? How do we get wisdom? I'm glad you asked, because in Psalm 111 and verse 10, the beginning of it says, and note the repetition here, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs 2:6, for the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Job 28:28, and unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, this is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. And James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom, ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally. In other words, he pours out an abundance of wisdom to all those that ask. And it said, and he upbraideth not, and it shall be given unto him. The word fear here means reverence and respect. So basically, if you want wisdom, you can't buy a book, Wisdom for Dummies. There's not one. I don't know, there might be. I'll take it back. But I'm going to tell you, if there's any truth in it, it's going to tell you the only way we can be wise is, number one, to become a child of God, a child of the King, to be saved by the precious blood of Jesus. That's how you have the ability to attain wisdom. It is made possible, wisdom is, by first you becoming a child of God. Are you saved? Give me an amen if you are. Are you saved? I like to hear that. For those that couldn't say amen, you know something? Wisdom awaits you. You need to first get saved. You need to believe in Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Believe that Jesus died on a cross for your sins, that he gave himself for you, that you're lost and undone and a sinful creature. And you cannot understand wisdom. You cannot enter heaven. You cannot have a relationship with God until first you acknowledge that Jesus took your place on the cross and shed his blood for your sins. So wisdom is made available through salvation. Then secondly, through our devotion, we attain wisdom. So I want to stress that, because I want us to understand that just because you're saved doesn't mean I'm just like Solomon, wisest man in the world. It doesn't happen that way. What happens is, when we get saved, we have the ability to attain wisdom. And if we are devoted to God, then we actually grasp and have wisdom and can live that life. Again, it's not a matter of choices as much as it's a lifestyle and a way of living. We look and we see examples that Jesus set before us. And one of the most prominent to me is when Jesus was sitting here and the religious leaders brought this lady that was caught in the act of adultery, brought her in, and they threw her down at the feet of Jesus, said, the book of Moses says we're to stone her. What do you say, Rabbi? What do you say, Master? They were trying to catch Jesus blaspheming against the word of God, and so they're thinking, well, what's he going to tell us to do? If he tells us to stone her, then he's assuming that he has the power to say such. If he says don't stone her, then we're going to hold him in contempt of blasphemy against God's word, so we're going to trap him. They cared nothing about the lady that had been guilty in the act of adultery. Only one person in that entire group cared about the lady that was broken and weeping at the feet of Jesus, and that was Jesus. So we see wisdom play out. What do you say, Master? You already know what he said. He wrote in the sand, he said, let you without sin cast the first stone. Boom! Wisdom. That was a beautiful illustration of knowing what's right. You know, there's probably just a handful of them that I've been able to pull out of the pocket like that, but every once in a while God will give insight to something that is helpful and beneficial and instructive in somebody's life or even in my own life. Those things don't come because I think I'm a real smart guy. Those don't come just because you think you've read all the right books or because you're intellectual. Those things come because we are where we need to be with God. The closer we get to Christ, the more we're going to be able to live a wise life. Wisdom is here. And we're going to be talking about wisdom for several weeks. I hope you don't get bored. But do you desire wisdom? You know, I'm excited to get into this study because I want to know more about what wisdom really is. I want to know more about the depth of the relationship that God wants me to have with Him. Do you desire that? I hope and pray that you do. Stand with me as we pray and begin our invitation. Father, we come to you today, and as we embark on this study of wisdom and the book of Proverbs, it's your desire for us to be wise, to live in wisdom, to live skillful, and to live with wit. And God, you stand and cry out to us to come and take of your wisdom that you give liberally. And God, that's what we're doing today. We're praying today. We're asking you to pour out your wisdom upon us. Help us, God, that we would live lives that demonstrate skillfulness, that God will live lives that would truly be pleasing and glorifying of you. It begins with salvation. If there's anybody here in the sound of our voice that is not saved, I pray that today and right now, God, would be the moment your Spirit convicts that soul and they are broken before you, God. They give themselves up to you and trust you as Savior today. I pray for those of us that are saved that, God, we understand wisdom is not just given at salvation, but only made available at salvation. Help us to come to this altar this morning and choose to be wise. Have your way in our hearts and lives in Jesus' name. Amen.